In my naivete, perhaps I thought it would be good to try to exercise, to try to find things that would humble me, maybe, or something. I don't know what I was thinking. But I looked for the opportunity to say, where can I maybe take the lower place or something? And then it almost always fails that I end up getting taking umbrage and feeling offended. And I say, well, I guess I better not put myself in that position anymore. Is there, are there exercises? It's probably a silly question, but is that wise to try to find a way to take the lower spot and then not get proud about it or not take offense when someone steps on you because you are the doormat? I just wonder if it's smart.
Are you married?
Oh, yeah.
No, yes, there's no exercises. There's, the opportunities are always there, such as your, it is good to practice, to say, I will, there is an ascetical element. You have to work to humble yourself, to say, yes, dear, you are right. Even though you know that you're right, right? But a miracle takes place when that happens, because when you, if you justify yourself, if your wife says the sky is green and you know the sky is blue, and you want to insist the sky is blue, you speak the truth, but you destroy love. But if you humble yourself and say, yes, the sky is green, you are lying, technically. But in that act of humility, of something greater takes place, and maybe not right then, but in a year or 10 years, the truth comes out. So your wife will realize that the sky is blue. We justify ourselves because we want an immediate gratification, immediate confirmation that our way is right. But humility requires a lot of work. Christ came, Christ did not, he could have instituted the kingdom in many ways, of course, however he chose. But he chose a difficult way. He was born, he lived, and he went, struggled through his passion. Why? To show us that acquiring humility, acquiring love is a long process, so that God himself undergoes that long process. He could have said, I deliver to you love, humility, patience, all the virtues, and I give them to you, and everything's fine. But he didn't do that. So you don't need to create exercises for yourself. Just take advantage of the ones that are given.
Your Grace, you spoke about the relationship between humility and humiliation. I've heard others teach that humiliation is different from humility and isn't necessarily tied to humility. Could you maybe elaborate and speak more about the relationship between humiliation and humility and maybe the extent of humiliation?
Right. Humiliation is a means to humility. Humility is a virtue, so it's what you do with the humiliation that transforms it. So simply being humiliated is not automatically humility. I think it, you know, humiliation is the pain. You know, I suffer a humiliation for whatever reason, and what is my reaction to that? You know, if we're proud, we say, I've been hurt by so-and-so, what am I going to do to him to get him back? Or where can I go to escape this humiliation? I'm embarrassed. You know, but if you transform that in your own heart and say, I have suffered this humiliation, it's for the glory of God, it's for my salvation, it's for my purification, then I'm sure Father Zacharias spoke about this last year. It's that changing something from a psychological state to a spiritual state. You know, so humiliation is a psychological experience that we have, and what we do with that experience can transform it either into the spiritual state of humility or trap us even more in a psychological despair or suffering.
Is there a certain extent to how much we should allow humiliation to occur? Mm.
Certainly, you know, it can become... you know, if you begin to, you know, some of the fathers looked for, you know, you read the fathers and say, I look for an opportunity to be humble, or the fathers that were sorrowful, you know, one of the fathers who was crying, and the other father said, why are you crying? He said, I haven't had an opportunity, you know, I haven't suffered a temptation today, so the Lord has abandoned me, you know. That's good in a sense, but if a psychological person can take that and say, you know, in a morbid sort of way, say, well, I need to suffer more, you know, let me arrange my life so that I can, let me offend people so that they'll hurt me back, and then I'll be suffering, and then I'll really be humble. You know, so it can become very distorted. So I think there is. A limit, you know, how do you discern what that limit is? You need it should be something like that. If you're going to do an exercise, a spiritual exercise, that would be something that needs to be guided by your spiritual father. You should never say, you know, determine that for yourself. Say, I think I'll do this. That's why, you know, as Father said, if you try too hard to take the lower place or to humble yourself in an unhealthy way, it always backfires, and it brings out the more passions. So that's why the best way is simply to accept the temptations that come, because they will come, you know. If you're looking too hard for things, then that's usually not a good sign. You know.
Is there one more question, Sid?
Oh, that was...
I spoke earlier in the week of my nephew who's in psychiatric treatment. And we really like where he's at, and we've worked with his therapist. They wanted him to do something, stay longer. He said, I'm ready to check out of here. Let me check out. I got what you're supposed to give me. And they said, no, we want you to stay another week. So I said, you need to be humble. Humility is a virtue. You need to accept their advice and be here longer. Then I spoke with the therapist later about that, and I was surprised that they did not automatically see humility as a virtue. And I thought, wow, that's a great step. He's taken, by being humble, it's a step towards health, which we believe thoroughly. Have you had any dealings? Why was this therapist so unfamiliar with the concept of humility as a virtue. That took me back when they seemed like really good people. And have you had? How do we communicate, maybe in a very plain way, to a good person who wants the truth? Why is humility, Christian humility, a virtue? Say they're completely pagan. They don't. So both. If you had any experience with that, and how do we tell them and convince them that humility, even right. convincing my nephew, being humble is really a great start.
Right. Yeah, you can't. I think what St. John says is absolutely true. But you can reveal it, you know, and that requires you to be humble, to communicate it is very difficult, precisely because the world thinks that humility is a weakness, you know, or it's a sign of powerlessness, and we like power in our society, and power means control, lack of control. But I think it's very difficult to you can't put it into words, but you can try to express it. Well, I mentioned earlier that, you know, humility is sort of powerful. Just being in church today sort of was an example, I think, of the power of the church. You know, our services are really, powerful is the wrong word, but
royal.
And you know, we're here in Southern California or Northern? Yeah. This is only my second time here, so I'm not sure. A Roman Catholic retreat center, and we have a very simple chapel with some beautiful icons and all the clergy and a beautiful choir, that's the church. You know, and I think that, you know, we're small. The Orthodox Church is small in this country, but we're going to be bigger. You know, but why are we going to be bigger? Not by conquering the world, but by making real the church. And we do this same thing we do with the services. I think we do with the virtues. If we live in love together, if we live in humility in our communities, then that's how we can convey those truths to those around us. But you have to bring that therapist into your family, or to bring him to the church even, and say, this is how we live. You can't say, well, you know, humility is a virtue, and here's what St. John says, and if you read this, you'll really understand it. That could work. You know, I think words are powerful and as well, but, you know, and those of us who are converts, I'm sure, started our journey to Orthodoxy through some form of written text. But at some point, we met someone. You know, it's when we met someone or saw a family, a parish family, or experienced a humble person, experienced a loving person, that's when we were convinced of the truth of the church. And that's the same principle, I think, that applies to the virtues of humility. So I know that's not an answer to your question, but that's my answer. That was the last question, or Do we want some more? The last question. Thank you. Thank you.